This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. A report by the National Low-Income Housing Coalition points to a shortage of affordable housing in every state and major metropolitan area, including Cincinnati and northern Kentucky. In Boone, Kenton, and Campbell counties, the wide range of incomes and the mix of larger urban cities and smaller suburban cities creates a challenge for providing affordable housing throughout the region. Joining us to talk about providing affordable housing options in northern Kentucky are Covington Mayor Joe Meyer. Mayor, thank you for being here today.
It's a pleasure.
Tom Gadooly, who's Executive Director of Neighborhood Foundations and former Mayor of Newport. Tom, thank you for being here today.
Okay, great.
Good to see you. And Assistant Professor of Urban and Public Affairs and the Director of the Kentucky State Data Center at the University of Louisville, Dr. Matthew Ruther. Matt, thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely.
You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Tom, talk about what is the need? Why is there a need for affordable housing? What's the situation in northern Kentucky?
Well, I think the need is that there's only a couple locations that you can really find truly a low-priced affordable housing, and it's basically Newport and Covington. And so I think the other communities, it would be great if they'd step up to the plate and put some additional affordable housing in. In Newport, we've got, we historically had 573 of public housing. So there, you've got all these little categories that could be affordable housing, public housing, voucher program. I mean, it's a little more complex than just talking about affordable housing. Affordable housing could be home ownership affordable housing. So it could be from A to Z in that discussion. But I really believe that the two people that are here today should be proud that they've got more affordable housing than the community probably should in comparison to the rest of northern Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Mayor, what's the situation in Covington with affordable housing?
Well, you know, the whole question of affordable housing comes down to income levels. And affordable housing, by definition, I think, is housing that costs less than 30% of the household income. And so Kenton County, in particular, has a wide variety of income levels that are not – whose housing needs are not being met, except – pretty much in the city of Covington, where Covington is about 25% of the population of Kenton County as a whole, yet it hosts about 75% of the publicly subsidized housing for the county. So we have quite a concentration of subsidized housing in Covington itself.
And Matt, when you look across the three-county region, how does affordable housing shape up in Boone, Kenton, and Campbell counties? I mean, where is most of it distributed?
We didn't actually look at Boone County or Campbell County, but it certainly is believable that most of Campbell County's subsidized housing or affordable housing is in the city of Newport. I suspect that most of Boone County's is in the city of Florence, although I can't say that for a fact.
So how do you convince the leaders in the smaller cities with maybe a higher general income, Tom? How do you persuade them that to get involved in creating more affordable housing?
Well, I think it's pretty complex, and you know, and once you get the other communities to talk to them, most of them are willing to do something, but it has to fit within their guidelines. And I've found that their guidelines is affordable housing for seniors. And so we just finished a project working with Highland Heights, mayor, the board of commissioners, planning and zoning. I had to go through every board, and they agreed to do affordable housing for seniors. And so that is probably one of the biggest moves. It might be in the state of Kentucky for moving some public and affordable housing to another community through an agreement that was willing to accept affordable housing. And through Kentucky Housing, they was amazed, because through the whole state, it's been pretty much like that. Please don't come to me and ask for to put affordable housing in my community.
So when it comes to decisions on affordable housing, the local governments are all acting on their own separately? Is that a correct way of looking at the current
The way it's set up, everybody's got certain authority. And in Newport, we only got authority to do business in Newport unless we get board of, you know, of council from, for example, Highland Heights to agree to allow us to do business in Highland Heights.
Joe, should most affordable housing be located close to service agencies? And is that why there is so much in Covington, Newport, because it's closer to those agencies?
I think it's been concentrated in Covington and Newport because the community, the people who live in those communities have generally been far more supportive and willing to go the extra mile to help the less fortunate. But there are some real downsides to the concentration of subsidized housing in such a small geographic area as Covington. And, you know, we will measure the downside by looking at the concentration and asking what the effect of the concentration is on the people who live in the subsidized housing. We have such a great level of concentration in that the people who live in the subsidized housing have neither access to quality education nor access to jobs. And what the public policy has done over the years is, in essence, gone and recreated almost a ghetto environment where whole huge swaths of the city of Covington are just dedicated to low-income housing, low-income people, but without a pathway out of poverty for those residents. And it's a most unfortunate circumstance where the subsidized housing in its concentration, in essence, becomes a barrier to people's ability to move themselves from lower income to higher income environments.
Matt, did you want to weigh in?
I would just add that there's a fairly extensive academic literature on the benefits of more mixed income housing. So essentially scattering public housing or subsidized housing, you know, more broadly. And, you know, this is many things. It affects health. It affects, as Joe said, it affects proximity to jobs, ability to be employed. It reduces reliance on welfare-type programs. And there's sort of mixed evidence on how the effect on children, because we really expect the effect on children to be substantial, but you know, measuring that as they grow older is sort of a challenge.
Tom, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, you look back at public housing. Public housing was built, you know, back in the 50s. So at that time, there was all these jobs. The brewery was open, the steel mill was open, there was thousands and thousands of jobs in walking distance. And as it changed and the people moved out of the community and the jobs moved out of the community, there was less jobs for people that didn't go farther in their education. So they kind of got pigeonholed in public housing there. And most of the people didn't really want to be there. That was their last choice because of their income. And it clearly is last choice. And so, you know, as Newport applied for a Hope 6 grant back in 2000 and got a Hope 6 grant, when we went through the process of evaluating the transformation of what affordable housing would look like in the future, we looked at scattered sites. Now, we didn't have any authority to go out of Newport, but we looked and scattered the density and separated the density where, you know, they were living next to families that went to work every day and their kids were doing, you know, good in school and they had different role models in the community. And it really has changed the stability of affordable housing and the look of Newport forever because of, at the end of the day, I mean, public housing was probably sitting on the most valuable property. It let a road go through Route 9 to access and more job development along Lowell Street and it created some redevelopment infill housing in the community for houses were burnt down or over the last 50 years and made, you know, all kinds of changes while we were doing the same thing of disposing of public housing.
So you were talking about a pathway. Job creation, I take it, would be part of that pathway.
Well, I know of two ways that you can get out of poverty. One is education, and the other is getting a job. And in education, there has been such a concentration of poverty in the Covington School District that the Covington ranks number one for the highest percentage of poor students of any school district in the state of Kentucky, including Appalachian, including the counties along the Tennessee border. And the children of poverty bring major challenges to public education. There's a well-known achievement gap. There are a variety of other issues that we expect the school district to deal with. And the result is very high-cost public education as well as low-result public education. So you know, that concentration and its access to quality educational opportunity is an issue. And the second is the issue, access to jobs. You know, the economy has changed dramatically. And if you don't have a good education, you don't have access to good jobs. The types of jobs that are available for folks who are lacking education aren't available in the city. You know, outside of a few fast food restaurants, you have to get out to facilities where they're dealing with logistics and warehousing and this sort of thing. And the travel distance from where the people live to where the jobs are is unable to be overcome in any meaningful way. So concentration, old city, limited access to quality education, limited access to jobs, no access to a future.
Tom, what about the role of transportation, public transportation, all this? People living in, if they live in affordable housing in southern Kenton County, how would they get to the jobs in the northern part of the county?
Well, I mean, there's Tank, but that, the opportunity to do that is fairly difficult. I mean, there's only certain routes, and, you know, really the jobs have flip-flopped and moved out closer to the airport and in Florence, in that area, in Boone County. And the amount of jobs in the urban core is completely different than it was, you know, 50 years ago when public housing was built. Mm-hmm.
No, it's the jobs have relocated, and the jobs that are coming back to the city tend to be the types of jobs that require higher levels of education. And so we have a mismatch between the educational attainment level of many of our residents and the qualifications that are necessary to have a job nearby.
Is there still a stigma attached to the term Section 8 and affordable housing, Tom?
Well, yes. I mean, there is. And affordable housing could be from like A to Z, what I told you before.
Yeah, it covers a lot of different things.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could have plenty of money and still want affordable housing. And so I think that's, yeah. And, yeah, people look at it differently. And I think that anybody that's subsidized, that people look down on that. And it really isn't. I think it's behavioral issues if somebody that's got a voucher or somebody in public housing does something that people criticize them because they're on affordable housing.
Matt, do you have any statistics on empty nesters moving back to urban cities and pushing the current residents out?
Yeah, particularly in Kentucky, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of this happening. I think it's more. The news has picked up on it as something that's happening, but the data don't really show it all that much. I just wanted to expound on what Tom just said. When we're talking about affordable housing, we're talking about a really large swath of the population. So not a large swath that gets the vouchers or things of that nature, but nearly 50% of the population is spending more than 30% of their income on housing. And that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of housing is increasing. Housing costs are increasing faster than almost any other cost, with the exception of healthcare, of course. But this is a problem that's not going away. It's going to get more expensive.
Is there a mechanism, Tom, that's been set up that cities and counties in northern Kentucky can tap into so they can cooperate and coordinate to establish more affordable housing?
Not that I know of. Most people don't want to have that discussion.
That's the tough part. Nobody wants to talk about this. Joe, are you aware of any collaboration or anything set up to?
No, it's people don't want to talk about it much. But I want to go back to what Dr. Ruther was saying about what a large swath of people are in need of affordable housing. Covington has about 500 units of market rate housing that are under construction right now, and the rents are, you know, anywhere from $1,000, $1,200 a month to $2,000, $2,500 a month. At a $2,000 a month rent, a person needs to have a $75,000 a year income, and generally to fall under the 30% range for your cost of housing. The median household income in all of Kenton County outside of Covington is just $60,000. So if you're talking $1,500, $2,000 a month for your housing cost, you have really limited yourself to a relatively small percentage of the overall population, overall number of households in Kenton County. So, you know, conversely, affordable housing is far more than subsidized housing for people with the $20,000 and $25,000 a year incomes, but people who have the $40,000, the $50,000, the $60,000 a year incomes are also struggling to find housing that can reasonably fit within their budgets.
What about strengths? What would you say, Tom, are the region's strengths in dealing with the affordable housing issue?
Well, that's a good question.
I'm a little discouraged that you're what are they?
I'm thinking that, you know, I guess the strengths are that Newport and Covington are continuing to look at the options of what we can do to improve and the lives of the residents in affordable housing and the opportunities and give them more opportunities, you know, to go to school, to get a job, and kind of help in that process.
Yeah. Affordable housing is one of those issues that really should be a regional problem and be looked at from a regional perspective, but we don't have any effective structures that would encourage a regional look at this, and so we fall back on the same old, you know, these are the people who have been doing it, so we'll just let them keep on doing it. And by the way, that's not my problem.
Do you have conversations with other city leaders, Mayor, about this? Do they
look in Covington? You know, it's not our job to tell other cities and other communities what they should be doing. It's our job to figure out for us what we should be doing. And so I'm not going to be expressing an opinion on what the neighboring community should do.
Mm-hmm. How does the state? How much does the state get involved in this?
Well, actually, through the Kentucky Housing Corporation, quite a bit, because their policies support continuation of past housing practices. So if a unit has been in, say, Section 8 for a given time, then the Housing Corporation will give a priority to the conversion of that through, say, a low-income housing tax credit program. And so as a result, by state policy, the areas that have had the most public affordable housing in the past will continue to have the most affordable housing in the future. And one of the, some would say assets, others would say liability associated with the low-income housing tax credit program as operated by Kentucky is that it locks that low-income housing into place for 30 years. Mm. And you know, a lot of change can happen in a community over a period of 30 years.
So, Tom, what's next? What do you think needs to be done next to improve the affordable housing situation in Northern Kentucky?
Well, I'm not sure I can answer for the rest of the community. I know that Newport and part of Campbell County has made great strides in the last 17 years, and because there was no one really to support any changes, we move forward making those changes internally through the City of Newport and Newport Housing Authority and neighborhood foundations. So, I mean, it'd be great if there was a real interest from communities to take on some responsibility of their residents for affordable housing, because they don't. They all wind up in the locations we talked about as Covington and Newport because it's the last choice. And the reality is people from their community lived in public housing in Section 8 in our communities for years. And the reason I know that is because I get to see the backup information, you know, when we did disposition where people moved to, and they moved there because their families and support was there, which is the best way, you know, to support your families, is to go to, you know, the same neighborhood you grew up or the same community or same city or same county and get support from your family.
Should there be more programs like Scholar House, programs that address generational poverty and single parents and issues surrounding?
Oh, truly. Any of those that can be more specific and change in people's lives through education and opportunities is much better than just being on, you know, affordable housing with no goals in your life. Mm-hmm.
Let me say, Newport has done an excellent job of providing exemplary leadership for our region in terms of the way that they've been dealing with their public housing and its transportation to alternative delivery models and alternative locations. I mean, Newport's done a first-rate job.
But it sounds like you would agree with Tom that more collaboration would definitely be a good thing.
Oh, there's no doubt. As I said earlier, the concentration of subsidized housing in certain of our neighborhoods is so great that it is counterproductive to the welfare of the people who live there.
What would you see as a next step? What would you like to see happen next? More emphasis on programs, more emphasis on...
There just needs to be housing alternatives in locations other than where the current concentration is greatest.
And Matt, you wanted to say something too?
I was just going to point out that this is not only a moral issue. There's a legal issue here. As under the Obama administration, HUD has put some new rules into place to help this problem. One of them is it's called affirmatively furthering fair housing, which is meant to sort of attack or support the fair housing act that's been in place since 1968, but also just to try to approach the problem of subsidized housing continuing this segregation that we see today. Another program that they're working on is this small area fair market rents idea. So right now, when you talk about housing vouchers, everyone within a metropolitan area gets the same amount to spend, and that's the median, the fair market rent within the metropolitan area. But under this new rule, which is not yet in effect, and there's some question about whether it's going to go into effect, depending on where you're moving to, you'll get a different amount. So if people were wanting to move to a slightly higher income area, the voucher would cover that.
And Matt, we have to bring it to an end at this point. Thanks to all of you for joining me this afternoon. Appreciate it. And the Scripps Howard Center for Civic Engagement at Northern Kentucky University is going to present the next Northern Kentucky Forum, Affordable Housing, How Are We Doing? Thursday evening at 7 at the Lincoln Grant Scholar House in Covington. And you can find a link to more information at wvxu.org.